needed to tell a story, his testimony. He said, I have been in the penitentiary for several years. And when I came out, I couldn't find a job. I didn't fit anywhere. And I figured my life is not worth living. So I decided to kill myself. Then he proceeded to tell us how he ran into Pastor and how he said, well, hey, come talk to me. Let's sit down and talk. He opens up his heart to everybody, no matter how small or how old. And so this gentleman was telling us how every Thursday he would go for several weeks to talk to my traveling buddy. And all the time figuring out how he was going to commit suicide. But each time he would meet, he would push it out further and further another week. And then finally he came up with a strategy of how to do it. He decided, I'm going to rob a bank. And then I'm going to run and run and run and allow the officers, the police, to take my life. And he went and he met with my traveling buddy with his idea in his mind. And in that meeting, my brother said, let me see your hands. And he looked at his hands and he said, those are blessed hands. He said, those hands are going to bring you work. That was the visionary. And so by this time, my brother and I, we have tears falling down our eyes because he said, look, now I have my own business because my hands indeed bought me work. He said, and I strategically placed that business right across the street from the bank that I was going to rob so that I can remember where I came from. And again, he thanked him for saving his life. And I would like to say to my brother, I honor you as a visionary. Mm. I appreciate you as my traveling buddy. And I love you as my brother.
Elder Curtis Miller, welcome.
Yes, thank you. Let me first say to the mayor and to all the commissioners, and especially you, Commissioner Fish, I want to thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedules to honor such a great man like Pastor Harding. Pastor Hardy is more than just a great man. He's a man of God. When I received, like others, when I received my email, it said only 2 minutes. Well, those at Highland know 2 minutes is kind of impossible for me. But the one thing I have to say, though, in giving honor to my pastor, the one thing that he teaches, in order for you to be in leadership, you must be under leadership. And the thing with that is this. That means that in order for you, before you can tell someone what to do, you must learn how to do what you're told. So I'm going to honor the 2 minutes, the 3 minutes. And if I do go over just a minute or two, please forgive me. But the question I ask God before I come here, what can I say? Because this man is so great. He's done so many great things. And in 2 minutes, I can't do it. But the one thing that God showed me was this. I'm going to have those that's going to speak before you. Mm-hmm. Every person that spoke before me is things that, you know, I can say that is true and things that we know that this great man have done. And I say to each one of them, thank you, because Pastor Hardy have touched all of our lives. You know, I've been in Pastor Hardy life about 17 years. I'm not originally from Portland. I come from Indiana, from City Gary, Indiana. But I never will forget, and I'll tell this quick story, and then I'll pass the mic on. He was invited to a church in Gresham, and that's where I was going when I first come here, to Gresham, to East Hill. And pastor was asked to speak, and he brought the choir. He had about 8 people with him, you know. They sung great, and he preached great. He's a preacher.
Amen.
He is a preacher. And At the end of his sermon, the one thing he asked the pastor, he says, I'm not here to take any memories. He says, but you know what? I've got a little church, and it was on 18th in Alberta, and it was a theater. He says, I'm converting into a church, and I need, if there are any men here that know how to do any plumbing and any kind of electrical work, if you would please come over and help, I appreciate it. And that was the call that he made for me to be a part of Highland. Wasn't planning on going to be a part of Highland, but planning to go and help at Highland. Because being a man that was raised by a man of God, 10 children, we were always raised to help others. I never will forget, I went to Highland. First, when I looked at the outside of it, I said, wow, what is this? You know, then when I went in Highland, that was a bigger wow, you know, because it was a theater, you know. I mean, seats, raggedy seats, and then that was the ceiling was leaking and stuff. But you know what? The one thing I love about him, though, is he had a vision.
Yes.
And the vision wasn't from man, it was from God. What I saw him do was completely turn that old theater into a house of God. In that house of God, there were people saved. Not just 200 or 300, but thousands of people. The next greatest thing he done is when him and God talking again, he had this vision to go to 76 in Gleason, the old New Beginnings, you know. Now, being with him, at that time I joined the church and I was a part of the board. And there were some board members that just didn't see him doing this. But you know what? Not one time did he disrespect or tell anyone, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do this, you know. He followed God's calling. And that was when Roy J. I got a chance to meet this Roy J. that so many people talk about. I mean, God gave him great people, put great people in his life to make it happen. And at 76 in Gleason, Highland Christian Center, let me be the first to tell you, there are great things going on there. $6 million campus. He didn't have the money. We didn't have the money. Didn't know where he was going to get it from. But you know what? God answered that call. And then not only that, there at Highland today, those know, every Sunday he's feeding the hungry. People that don't belong to Highland, people that comes in and they're getting fed every Sunday. Not only is he feeding the hungry, but the blessing part is in the basement of Highland, there's a school there for children. Not only that, you know what, he set up to where he have men and women going out into the prisons to preach to those that are incarcerated. Not only that, the thing is, you know, he's here in the city. But you know what? I have to stop for a minute, and I have to ask two special ladies to forgive me because I should have gave them honor. One is his mother. Mm-hmm. Because if it wasn't for her, would none of us be here. Mother Hardy, we love you. The second is First Lady, his wife, Sister Allie. Because let me be the first to tell you, being married 40 years and living in this world and dealing with people, it takes a wife to help you get through the next day. Because I know there's times when he would go home. Now, the answers is not a problem, but when it comes to not having answers and when it seems like God is not talking to you, there's that wife. And she's the one that's rubbing his head and, honey, it's going to be all right. Keep trusting in God. So I thank God for those two women. And I say that to my pastor, you know, he has a lot of titles, doctor, and I mean, he's all of that. But you know what? Like one of the speakers said, he's a pastor. He is a pastor. He's very concerned about his sheep. Each sheep is important to him. And just the other day, he had one of his members that was in the hospital that was going through a battle, you know. And it was 9:30 at night. Sister Leslie gave me a call, and she was telling me, you know, Ellen Miller, we've got, you know, one of our members in the hospital, and her mother's there, and she haven't had anything to eat, so we need to get her something to eat. And I said, okay. Now, this is 9:30. I goes out to the hospital, and I see you, and run the food up to take to her. And when I get up there, she comes out, but who do I see? Pastor Hardy. You know, he's coming out. You know, and I thank God for this man. I thank God for him because you know what? He is a man of God. He's a man of God. And the other thing that you have to realize, everywhere that he goes, believe me, it's going to be church. Because here we are here, and we had church. We had church. You know. So, you know, and I must honor the time limit. I just want to say to my pastor, I love you. Amen. There's
You know what? There's two great men in my life. One is going home to be with the Lord, and the other is you. And the reason why you're so great is because you don't put yourself first. You put other people. You about God's business and about souls. If I get home before you, I'm going to ask the Lord to let me work with you. And if you get there before me, please save a place with me.
I love you. Thank you.
Hey, Jay, welcome. And Roy, thanks for agreeing to stay within the 1 minute limit.
That's right. The 30 second limit. They've already used up all of my time. You know? Mayor, commissioners, thank you for this opportunity for us to come together. And as you've already heard, recognize a great man in our community who's been here for a long time. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot of Pastor Hardy stories. Just watch for my book coming out next week. $9.95 plus shipping and handling. Walking with Pastor Hardy. I have known this guy for I don't know how many years, and I happened to stumble upon Highland. This is a real short story, but it's so true. I was at Highland one Sunday with the late Harold Williams, our chair of our board of our African-American Chamber. We came to give some scholarships to some young kids. And we walked into this theater, and as Elder Miller said, it was a converted theater. The seats were broken. The roof was leaking. And I'm looking around thinking, oh, help me, baby Jesus. You know, there's something going on here. But the place was packed, and I was going through a transition time in my life. I'm trying to find the right church, the right message, and things of that nature. We came and did our little piece. And something told me, come back next week, because I'm thinking that maybe they're just putting on a nice little show because we're the guys with the money. We came with the money. And so without him knowing it, and I've told him this story before, without him knowing it, I actually came back the following Sunday after the services started, sat way in the back, and just to see, you know, the message. And the message was genuine, it was true, it was sincere. And from there, we started to create a kinship. But as I was looking around, and I think the pastor remembers I came, and I'll tell you how bad the furniture was. I tore one of my expensive suits on the arm of the chair. I didn't say anything, but he found out about it. But the roof was leaking and things of that nature, and the church was so broke they couldn't pay attention. You, that's an old joke, but that's the truth. And so through the grace of God and talking with a particular gentleman, I'm looking at him over on the right side that used to work at Albina Bank, and he was looking at a loan that application that was sitting there, and he said, Roy, they don't even have a pot to you know what in thing. I said, you know what, but see about giving them the money, because I know he's going to do great things. They got it fixed, they got the roof fixed, and then they went on to do other things. And when the pastor told me, he says, now I'm looking at a $6 million church. I'm thinking, well, you don't have a job. You're counting on all these donations. And I'm looking at him and say, okay, go ahead and do it. You know, nobody's going to say no, but he actually did what everybody else was thinking about doing. He's always been that kind of person. And so I've been on the Pastor Hardy wagon and train and everything else for years and years and years. He's been our partner in Project Clean Slate, and I can't begin to tell you how many people that he has helped. It's not just us running the program. It's Pastor Hardy sitting over there working with people, and we've got people doing community service at Highland, and people are changing their lives, and he's never asked them to come join my church. You know, they come and they do their work and so forth like that. But a lot of them come back because they like the message and they haven't been around a man of God that much that's going to affect them as much as he has. But I'll tell you, he has been. When you talk about traveling buddies, and this is a short Roy Pastor Hardy story. One day I called him up. I says, "Look it, you want to go to Washington D.C. with me?" You remember the story? You certainly did. And so I took him to Washington, D.C. I said, you're going to meet a couple friends of mine, Hillary and Tom Daschle. And so we were there for like 3 or 4 days and running around, and he was just having himself a good time, you know, praying on everybody. And and so as on our way back, we were coming back for some young lady's funeral. And so I showed him how to be able to travel Roy style and how to have people, the airlines actually pay you to travel. And he just couldn't believe it. It was like, well, just take notes, you know. So to this day, you learned, didn't you? You learned real quickly. That's right. Yeah, so we've learned from each other. We have, you know, he has been, you know, I'm sort of like, I told him I'm his shadow most of the time. I, you know, you don't see me, but I'm there, you know, because he's went through hell and high water. You know, the health challenge is a challenge. It's not a death wish, because we all in this room and everybody else has been praying on this. Isn't yet, as he says, do I have a church in here?
Amen.
We have a church in here. Amen. We have a church in here. Thing. So he's not checking out anytime soon. Thing. I'm just glad to call him my friend. Thing. He's been there for me and everybody else, and I thank the council for recognizing him while he's breathing. Like they say, it's better to be seen than viewed.
Yes, yes.
And you know, I won't be viewing him until he's like 103, 105 years old. So. Okay, thank you kindly. God bless you, and I'm going to turn it over to whoever, because my 1 minute is up, isn't it?
Roy, would you please escort our honored guest to the table?
Yes, I'll be glad to. Okay.
Pastor Hardy and First Lady Allie Hardy, we'd like to give you the first opportunity to share any reflections you would like to, and then we will close the proceeding, as is our tradition, with comments from the council. So, welcome.
Well, I'd like to ask my children to stand, all of, I believe, Sean, Jael, Eli, Gail, Daniel, and Elena, Anorvia. And along with them, I want to say truly thank you to all of you for recognizing my husband and his wonderful works. Thank you. And also to all of the loved ones here and our friends that have come to support this. Thank you very much.
To the mayor and to other council members, it is my honor and a privilege to be here. And it's very humbling. It's very humbling. I remember back hearing my father share stories. And one of the things I'd hear my father say repeatedly is, why did I come to Portland? Why did I come to Portland? And he later gave background to that. He said that as a traveling evangelist, he was a gang member once. And he said if the Lord would save him at the age 16, he would serve God the rest of his life. He had a switchblade in his pocket. They were about to get into a ruffle down in San Bernardino, California. And the Lord got him out of it. And at 16, he began to serve the Lord. And he would go on these huge fasts and pray and ask God for revelation. And then in the summertime, he would take the money he saved up, and Big Mama would pin that to the inside of his pants. And he'd go get a Greyhound bus ticket as far as his money would take him. He'd get off the bus and look through the phone book, find a pastor, go to that church, knock on the door, and say, hello, the Lord sent me here to run a revival. He'd run a revival and raise some more money, and he'd go to the next place, and he'd do that in the summer and then come back home. And when he was running a revival up in San Francisco, he ran upon this church, and he went in there, and he saw my mother. And my mother was only 16 years old, and he said, Lord, if that's my wife, when I go over her house, if the house is clean, I'm going to marry her. The rest is history. Obviously, the house must have been clean. So they married, and he would do the same. He went to served in the Korean War and came back and continued that regimen of running revivals. And Mom got pregnant while he was on the evangelistic field, and it was here in Portland. And he said that evangelists and a pregnant wife should not be on the road traveling. So he settled here in Portland. And hence, he would always say, why did I stay here? As hard as he worked, he tried to get a church here, and we all know about Portland's history. They had redlining in banks. They wouldn't give him a loan. So he got an ice house on Northeast 10th and Beach. It's now a predominant neighborhood called Irving, but back then it was just a little motley community. And he got that ice house and converted it into a little mission church. And he would say, why am I here? If I was in another predominant city, we'd be further ahead. And every summer he would pitch a tent and put it up for 30 days. It's called Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard now, but it was Union, and that's where the winos and alcoholics and prostitutes would hang out, and African Americans would be, and he'd put that tent up for 30 days in the summer and preach and try to reel in and save and salvage souls. And again, he would say, why did the Lord send me here? It was even so bad when we grew up as kids, I wondered if my dad was going to go to jail just because for him to get a better home that would house six kids, the bank wouldn't loan him money. For whatever reason, we may know, but he struck a deal with an Italian family in Southeast Portland, and they said, under the table, we'll sell you this house on contract. And me not knowing law, I just figured if it's under the table, maybe any day they'd take my dad to jail just because he bought a bigger house. I later learned that that's just how you do business, you know. When you can't find a way, God blesses a way. So he moves into that house, and as he's raising the six kids in a predominantly Italian community, he says to himself, but why am I staying here? It's hard to find cultural diversity, and it's hard to make it. It's hard to navigate. It's difficult. He was the first African-American preacher on KATU Channel 2 television, and he'd close it out. You remember when TV would go off and the bugs would start? He was the last man before the American flag came waving out there. He'd only have 2 minutes, but he would say those prayers in a meditative word, and he was always careful. He didn't just preach Jesus. He would talk about God because there were some faiths that just believed in God but not Jesus, and he would always be careful. And he would say, I don't know why I settled in this place, but today I think the answer is here. When I look and see a community such as this that has come together against denominations and racisms and races, when I look at my daughter and her friends who, if they would stand, who come all the way from Jesuit High School, stand. Different nationalities. When I come before a city council that heart is in the right place. They don't just give lip service to services, a housing department, a parks bureau. When I come before you and express the needs of those young people that needed to have work and the monies, and it was a dire time, but you heard that message, and rather than placating us and sending us off, you diverted funds, necessary funds, to those youth. And when I see you in the community and hear the things you're doing, I realize the reason that God allowed my father to be here. It's because he wanted me to see that God truly has a plan for humanity of bringing us all together. And if you stay the course, times change. And you ask that question, is it better for blacks now? We may not be where we want to be. But if we look around, we can say, by God, it surely is better than what it used to be. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Comments from my colleagues here.
Well, let me begin by, please.
Can I just?
Oh, suspend, yes, please. I'm sorry.
My father passed in 2013, and ever since then, 2003, and ever since then, in his place, I've always had, and I'm grateful to have him here. And I wanted to make mention my uncle Rupert, who's here. When I need a word of counsel, he's my silent rock and fall. Would you stand? Thank you, Commissioner.
Well, Mayor, I want to begin by thanking Senator Gordley and Roy Jay for working with us to organize this tribute. They are two wonderful community leaders, and when the call went out, they answered it. And everyone they invited accepted. And the truth is, Pastor Hardy, we could extend this event another 6 hours and not hear from all the people that wanted to speak. But I'd like to begin by offering my deep felt thanks to Abel and Roy for helping to organize this event. I'd like to thank the Highland Christian Center family, the choir, the elders, the parishioners, and all who came out today to participate in this celebration. Can we give the Highland family a round of applause? I'd like to acknowledge all our honored guests. You know, it's like having an all-star team here in Portland. And so we thank everybody that took time out of their busy lives to come and share personal reflections about their great friend and mentor and colleague, Pastor Hardy, and his family. And you do great honor to this body to share your stories with us today. I want to thank my colleagues for agreeing to host this event. This, I think, Mayor, is an unprecedented event. And I've been trying to think of another time when the council extended an honor like this. Perhaps the closest I can think of is in recent history is when the community gathered to thank Charles Jordan and to place his name above a community center in Northeast Portland. But this is extremely rare, and that is befitting of someone who is so unique in our community. I want to close but with one of my favorite quotes. It's a quote that George Hocker and I love together, and it was stated by another pastor you may have heard of. And Dr. King once said, and I'll quote, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve. You don't have to have a college degree to serve. You don't have to make your subject and your verb agree to serve. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love." So I was thinking about the pairings that we've heard about tonight, about Will and Allie, about 76th and Gleason, about church and state, about beloved and community, about servant and leadership. And as Dr. King would say, the greatest, perhaps, marriage of all, about grace and love. And Will, you embody to the depth of your being this notion of grace and love. And you honor us today with your presence. And I'm honored to be part of this ceremony. Thank you.
Well, let me add to that pairing, engineer and TriMet. Before you found that calling with God, I think even maybe while you had that calling for God, I know you worked for TriMet, and I know you had a background as an engineer, and as somebody who was also educated as an engineer, I've always felt that certain bond, and my admiration for you has increased so much more because you've come so far, and I'm certainly proud of you and everything you've done for the city, and I just have a few vivid memories that I want to share that I know I shared with you. When I was on this council, we led the effort to rename Portland Boulevard to Rosa Parks Way. And I think, as my colleagues know, street renamings are never easy in this city, and this was no exception. But the African-American ministry was there from the start. But Pastor Hardy was always the one that said, if you need me to go meet with some group of people, and we took him up on that, he was always there. I think, like as Reverend Bethel said, you could always count on Pastor Hardy to be there, and he was the front line of the effort to rename Portland Boulevard to what it is now, Rosa Parks Way. So thank you for that. When I was the police commissioner, hard to believe, but we had what seemed like then a bad gang problem, kind of pales in comparison to what we're seeing right now. But it was bad, and as police commissioner, I'm always trying to figure out what we can be doing for these youth. And as somebody who cares very much about youth having things to do, constructive things to do, I went and sought Pastor Hardy's counsel and went out there and met with him, and he helped even facilitate some meetings with some of the youth in his church to have a chance to better get inside their heads, which is always challenging when the distance of age is so great. And I remember you telling me that, to look up in the balcony of your church, just like I kind of look up in the balcony today and I think about how you would tell me that, you know, you're getting through to some of these kids and they'll show up, but, you know, they're not going to come to the main floor. They'll be in the periphery of the balcony. And I remember looking up and observing them and when I've attended your services. And I guess my final memory is as I've attended your services from time to time, I've always been so profoundly impressed with your call on men to be fathers. and you are unabashed, unashamed about doing that. And I know that's not always politically correct to do, but I know in your service you would always ask all the men who are fathers to come up on stage and be blessed and be prayed for, and I really appreciate that about you too. So it's been a real pleasure, and I look forward to my continued relationship with you, and I thank you for all you've done for us. And you too, Mrs. Hardy. Thank you.
Pastor Hardy, first, I just wanted to thank you and everyone here for spending this time with us. Any event that combines the quiet dignity of Yvel Gordley and the flamboyance of Roy J is by definition a blessed and wonderful event that in this case reflects a blessed and wonderful man. So thank you, and thank all of you. And I also wanted to say that part of your role, of course, is to hold us accountable. And just want to say that when we screw up, as we will, and you hold us accountable, as you do, to follow in what your sister said, we will thank you for the spanking.
Well, how great that we are all here today. And thank you, Pastor Hardy, for being willing to do this. You're such a humble man, and yet you have agreed to come and let us thank you in public. And it's a blessing for each one of us, I know. Thank you to everybody who came. What a wonderful place in our city hall to be celebrating our pastor. And Mayor Adams gave you the Spirit of Portland Award in 2011. And under Mayor Adams, we really pioneered. What do we mean by separation of church and state, and why should they be so separate? That they are doing good things for people in need, so that's a joint venture that we need to work together on, and I have really appreciated your partnership on that. I very much appreciate Highland Christian Center and all of you who work so hard there and care for people there. I know you care for formerly incarcerated people. I'm a formerly British person. And in Britain, they would call your church a happy, clappy church. it is a happy, clappy church. And it's a wonderful place to come and celebrate. I came first. I was told, well, when I was first campaigning, you need to go to Highland Church. And that's part of what you do as a political candidate. And you welcomed me there. And I promised that I would come back when I was not a candidate. And I did. And I was always felt very welcome. You know, I'm also a former nurse. Nurses are beloved. I'm now a politician. We're worse than tax collectors. And yet you always made me feel like I was a friend and somebody who was welcome at your church and in your heart and in your lives. And so I thank all of you at Highland Christian. I thank Mrs. Harding Sr. that what a fine man that you birthed and raised with your husband. And thank you to Mrs. Harding Jr. for being there for him all the way and for agreeing to do this ceremony with us. What a partnership you have been. And there's a when one is in a high-profile position and one not, I don't think people recognize how much the partnership matters and needs to be strong. So this has been definitely a celebration, and I'm very, very happy to do that. I would encourage each one of you. When my husband died a little over 8 months ago, we had a wonderful celebration in Terry Schrank Plaza where we had more than 2 hours of people coming, taking the microphone and talking about what he or I had meant to them. And if you didn't get a chance to speak today, I encourage you to do that now, do that today, because we don't know, any of us, how long we have left. And so it can be really helpful. And so I want to say I love you. I really appreciate what you do for our community and what you have done for me. And I hope that each one of us will grasp the day. We can't change the past. We can only change the present with the hope of changing the future. And so in the present today, thank you.
Our mayor will have the last word, but I seek humble forgiveness. I neglected to acknowledge the work of Jenny Kalis, who did all the staff work organizing this event. So can we give Jenny a round of applause? Thank you.
Well, the only thing more dangerous than multiple pastors with a microphone is multiple elected officials, but I will match my colleagues in brevity and also with love, because that's why we're here. And we won't match the eloquence of what we heard from community leaders here today. And thank you all for expressing the love we all feel for you and your family and your mission in our city. Nick said this was a unique event, and I was reflecting on that while I was listening to each of you. And it is a unique event, and it's also a unique spirit that's in this room today. I look around this room at a lot of community leaders who, like me, in one capacity or another, have spent a lot of time in this room. In my case, about 12 years, where I have to show up every week, but also before that as a citizen and as an activist and as a leader in the community, as I see, again, so many around this room, pastors, and elected officials, and community leaders. And people maybe who don't participate in the process sometimes think that government is a bloodless business with no emotion involved. But, of course, anybody who spent any amount of time in this room would realize that's not the case. And there sometimes is a prevailing emotion in the room. Sometimes it's contentiousness, where we are divided as a community. Name that street. Don't name that street. Put fluoride in my water. Please don't put fluoride in my water. Approve that thing. Don't approve that thing. We have division and contentiousness as the prevailing wind in this room sometimes. Sometimes we have maybe not confusion, but at least consternation. This is a complicated problem. We can't seem to find a solution. You know, we work so hard at housing, and there's still homeless people. And there's a prevailing spirit of puzzlement and confusion and consternation in the room. And I've felt that often on those issues. And then sometimes there's consensus, where in sweet reason we come together and say, the community and the council, we agree this is the right thing to do. In fact, we did that. I was so proud of this council and this community last week. We did that because we've been blessed as a city with some prosperity that rains down into our budget. And this council, urged by a lot of people in this room, invested a couple $1 million in making our community centers free for kids. And that was a sweet moment of consensus where everybody said, that's the right thing to do. And so there really often is an emotion in this room. Again, sometimes it's almost an ugly one. Sometimes it's beautiful. This is the first time in all the times I've been in this room, in whatever capacity, where I'd say it's so clear. There's one emotion in this room, and it's gratitude. We love this man. We're grateful for you and your mission. We're grateful for what your family has sacrificed for you to carry out that mission. And you have inspired and do inspire us to be better as a city. And that's a great gift. Thank you so much. We'll take a brief break, and others can thank you personally. Thank you all so much for coming today.
Hey.